In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Freddie the Frog is preaching this morning. I'm always surprised, I shouldn't be, about the response of the disciples to the fact that Jesus is speaking to this woman. They won't even say anything, and she is so out of the realm of who they are and what they believe. And yet here is their master, Jew or rabbi, speaking to the Samaritan woman. They were at odds with each other, the Samaritans and the Jews, so different than each other. Not much in common where they worshipped, how they worshipped. But most of all, what's most striking is the fact that there's a man here, Jesus, talking to a woman, the Samaritan woman, and that is totally, totally not cool. I mean, really. In that day and age, the only time a woman spoke to a man was whether it was one of her relatives, whether it was her husband or her brother or her uncle or whatever, but you didn't just speak to other men. But Jesus has approached her and asked for water. And he's there at midday. He's there at the high noon. And that's another thing that tells us something about this woman, besides all the facts that, you know, she's been married like 5 times. The reality is that she's come at noon because the other women come at 7 o'clock in the morning or at sunrise when it's cool. But she is such an outcast even among her own people, not just from the Jews, but she's an outcast among her own people, that because of her past history, her issues with whether or not she was married or not, she's a person of ill repute, somebody that they would talk about and berate. So she finds solace in the fact that she comes at noon when the other women aren't around, so she's all alone. And she comes for a necessity of life. She comes for water. Water was necessary in those times, just as it is now, but they had to really work for it. And so she comes there with the jug of water, and she's going to let her pail down into the well to get water. But she gets so much more than what she bargained for. She gets so much more because she has run into Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus reveals her true identity to her, and in doing so, he also reveals his identity to her. And he creates for her a new life, a new way of living. There's a chaplain in the Air Force who had shared this story about a decade ago when he was deployed in an Air Force squadron at King Abdulaziz Air Force Base in Dhahran, Saudi Arabia. There were no cool days when they were all there. The heat reached 115 plus every day. And since it's located near the Gulf, the humidity was extremely high. He reported that one of his troops, a kid on his first deployment overseas, was posted out near the end of the runway to test the electronics on the aircrafts before they took off. And this young man had been out there for about 20 minutes when one of the pilots called in to say that the airman had fainted out in the sun on the tarmac. Well, they rushed out to get him, and they called an ambulance, and they got him to the hospital, and he was severely dehydrated. And when asked how much water he had consumed, he said he had gone through the entire 5-gallon cooler that they gave him. The physicians were puzzled, so they asked, how could he be so dried out having swallowed so much water? But the young man replied, I don't like water, so I swished it around in my mouth and I spit it out. That young man almost gave his life for his country in a very strange way, just because he wouldn't accept the water that was for his taking. And how many times are we so thirsty in the spirit that we refuse the refreshment that the spring of living waters brings to us because we may not like the taste? Hippolytus, a second century Christian writer, explains the work of the Holy Spirit in us. He said, this is the water of the Spirit. It refreshes paradise and enriches the earth. It gives life to living things. It is the water of Christ's baptism in our life. And if you go with faith to this renewing fountain, you renounce Satan, your enemy, and confess Christ, your God. You cease to be a slave and become an adopted child. You come forth radiant as the sun and brilliant with justice, and you come forth a child of God and fellow heir with Christ. So how do we go about experiencing this living water? Well, the church offers you an invitation every single week during Mass in what the portions which call the Sursum Corda. It's when I turn around and I say to you, lift up your hearts, and you reply to me, we lift them up to the Lord. That's an act of surrender. And in this act, the source of living water is opened up and pours forth. As Jesus said, we then worship in spirit and in truth. But we can assert our free will just like that guy who refused to drink the water and spit it out all the time. We can come to the well and refuse to drink deeply. But God keeps offering. And we can keep refusing the gift if we refuse to change. If we refuse to change our hearts, minds, or ways of living. Sometimes something that we are carrying gets in the way of us accepting this life-changing gift of drinking it all in. That woman at the well left behind her water jug. What she thought was the reason for her going to the well and encountering Jesus. She left it behind, but she also found the source of a transformed life. So here we are, third week in Lent, two more to go before Holy Week. What does Jesus bid us to leave behind? Each and every one of us has something that we need to leave behind. This woman and we can move more quickly and effectively to spread the gospel if we recognize and leave behind those things that weigh us down spiritually. We are called, as followers of Christ, to spread the word of the gospel. I want you to note that the power of this woman's witness does not remain solely with her. We hear at the end of this gospel that it spreads out to others. She goes and she tells. And they go too, looking for Jesus, and invite him to stay with them, which he does for a couple of days. And so they also start to testify. And the word spreads more and more, and that life-giving water spreads more and more, and it flows out of all of them to everyone around them. We are not called to do this alone, but we are called to accept and stop the grousing about accepting the living water. We heard in the Old Testament this morning in the book of Exodus, the Hebrew people were so upset with God, all they did was grumble. Mumble, mumble, grumble, grumble, you know, I don't like this, I don't like that. And at the end we hear them saying, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? Well, I say to you, yes, the Lord is among us. But it's up to us as individuals to decide whether we will accept the life-giving gift that he gives to us, this life-giving water. So on this third Sunday in Lent, two more to go before Holy Week, where is it that we find obstacles in our lives? Think about that this week. What prevents us from drinking deeply of that life-changing, life-giving water that Jesus offers to all of us? Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, friend of sinners and lover of outcasts, champion of the downtrodden, we give you thanks for your love and compassion for all people. We see you among us in the faces of strangers and the voices of children and the cries of the poor and the yearnings of the dispossessed. Show us the way, Lord Christ. Empower us with new ways to love. Most of all, the courage to accept new challenges and the will to persevere in works of justice and mercy. Stir up within us the passion of your love and give us the grace to follow you wherever you lead the way. Lead us on, Lord Jesus, lead us on to the threshold of the age to come and to the world that awaits us there. Lead us on to the living waters and open our hearts to all that you offer to us. Lead us on, Lord Jesus. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.